people of exceptionally bad character. And it's interesting that that sort of characterization runs no matter how high the misconduct goes. So, like, if there's a corrupt cop in the lowest level of some minor police department who's misbehaving, then that scene is just a matter of, like, his own personal bad morals. And looking back on, like, the Nixon years, people tend to think of, well, Nixon was an exceptionally bad person. And we're really encouraged not to think about things systemically. And in general, that approach just has less explanatory value. It doesn't explain why some misconduct is tolerated and others isn't, and it doesn't explain why the same patterns of misconduct reproduce again and again. And it doesn't explain why, it doesn't even consider whether there are features of the institution that these people are part of that shapes the misconduct in particular ways. It's a very individualistic and, in some ways, I think naive view that bad things happen because bad people do them, and totally forgets the context in which they do them, the ways that they may be rewarded for doing them.
Press your ears next to your speaker. It's the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for the 15th of September, 2005. This is Bennett, and I'm going to take off from the Thursday news for a little while. So this is, I guess, my last news hour for at least some time. And I want to make this a good one. I don't know how much I can do. It depends on what the news is, doesn't it? But, hey, if you've been listening to the news hour for a while, I've been doing this for 4 years. I think you know that it's time to just sit back, light up a doobie, or pull up a glass. Sit yourself back, get comfortable, and get ready to think. Because the only way that we're going to get out of the mess that we're in right now is by using our brains. Can somebody tell me anything good that George Bush has done since he's been in office? Anything? Somebody? Anything good? This is the Thursday Impressionistic News. You can tell because it's Rowan Kirk.
Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. give up.
Give up. Christianity is stupid. Communism is good. That's negative land. And review posted by Harpers.org and Paul Ford on September 13th, 2005 for the September 15th Impressionistic News Hour. This, of course, covers the news of the last week, and things change so quickly that some of the details may already be old. Emergency officials in Louisiana, for instance, this: requested 25,000 body bags for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Now they're saying it's only going to be 400 dead. Oh, we're not done yet. And a total evacuation of New Orleans was ordered. Much of the city was still underwater, though several people who lived on high ground objected to the evacuation. "I haven't even run out of weed yet," said one woman. Houston, Texas, the headquarters of contractors Halliburton and Baker Hughes, was preparing for a boom. One real estate firm was offering special financing deals for hurricane survivors only. Wealthy residents of New Orleans were devising ways to rebuild the city with a minimum of poor people. Sounds like New York City. Barbara Bush visited the Astrodome and said that, given that the evacuees were underprivileged anyway, things were working out very well for them. Representative Richard Baker gave the hurricane credit for finally cleaning up public housing in New Orleans. Such compassion from these assholes. The government began to award no-bid contracts for the reconstruction. I wonder who's going to get those. And President G.W. Bush, fucking scumbag, signed an executive order to allow federal contractors working in the wake of Katrina to pay their workers less than the prevailing wage. When questioned by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi over his administration's response to the storm, the idiot asked, "What didn't go right?" Bush asked that. What didn't go right? He also declared September 16th to be a national day of prayer, which everyone with any intelligence should ignore. Anyone who stops and prays on September 16th is an idiot. Dick Cheney toured the South. "Go fuck yourself, Mr. Cheney," yelled Ben Marble, a Mississippi physician who lost his home to the hurricane. "Go fuck yourself." Marble was handcuffed and later released. Republicans promised to probe themselves, and we know what good that will do. It was revealed that evacuees from the hurricane had been flown to Charleston, West Virginia, where no one expected them, instead of Charleston, South Carolina, where accommodations and doctors were waiting. Doctors in New Orleans admitted that they had euthanized critically ill patients rather than leaving them to suffer. "Those who had no chance of making it," said an emergency official, "were given a lot of morphine and lain down in a dark place to die." Meanwhile, Bob Denver, best known for playing Maynard on Dobie Gillis, and I guess he did something called Gilligan's Island, died. Michael Brown, that's more important. Michael Brown, director of FEMA, was found to have lied on his resume and was removed from the Hurricane Katrina relief effort and sent back to Washington, D.C. to administer FEMA at a national level. I'm going to go home and walk my dog and hug my wife and maybe get a good Mexican meal and a stiff margarita and a full night's sleep. Notice the order. He's going to walk his dog before he hugs his wife. He later resigned. FEMA officials asked journalists not to take pictures of dead bodies, and China announced that the death tolls from natural disasters would no longer be classified as state secrets. Germany surpassed the United States to become the world's number one exporter. How about that? And California Terminator Arnold Schwarzenegger announced that he would veto a bill legalizing same-sex marriage. A large bulge appeared in the state of Oregon. Up to 3.7 million gallons of crude oil leaked into the lower Mississippi River, and 45,000 pounds of dog food landed on the highway in Southern California. A car bomb in Iraq killed 16 people. The last Israeli troops left Gaza. And 32 police officers were injured during riots in Belfast. Russia announced that it will build a small floating nuclear power station in the White Sea. Where's that? I don't know where the Black Sea is. The Pentagon held a Freedom Walk. Walkers were forced to register online ahead of time to march along a fenced-in route and to listen to Clint Black perform his song, Iraq and Roll. Oracle was buying Sybil, and eBay was buying Skype. What the fuck are they? Yahoo admitted that it had helped China track down a journalist, Xi Tao, who had anonymously redistributed a message from the Chinese government suggesting journalists be careful about what they write. Shai is serving a 10-year sentence for revealing state secrets. It was revealed that several months before it issued a warning, the FDA had been aware that the Guidant Ventac Prism 2 DR heart defibrillator had a tendency to short-circuit. Passport applicants in Britain were being told not to smile for their pictures because smiles confuse security equipment. Encephalitis had killed at least 600 people in India, and a typhoon killed at least 21 people in southern Japan. Sapar Murat Niyazov, president of Life for Turkmenistan, declared that a zoo for penguins would be built where the Karakum Desert begins. A Brussels woman urinating in a graveyard was crushed to death by a falling gravestone. A woman in India was freed from the outhouse where she had been confined for more than 25 years. And a British man died when he fell into a giant blender. Enough said. That's the weekly news in review. Jesus.
Nothing you can sell me, I see you. love could never do you justice in reason or right. Only one thing I did wrong, stayed in Mississippi in the alley, mules in the store. Say anything you wanna, I have heard it all. I was thinking about the things that Rosie said. I was dreaming, I was sleeping in Rosie's bed. Walking through the leaves, falling from the trees, feeling like a stranger, nobody sees. So many things that we never will undo. I know you're sorry, I'm sorry too. Some people will offer you their hand, and some you won't. Last night I knew you, tonight. Distract my mind. I'm gonna look at you till my eyes go blind. Well, I got here following the Southern Star. I crossed that river just to be where you are. Only one thing I did wrong, stayed in Mississippi. And it's sinking fast. I'm drowning in the poison. Got no future, got no past. But my heart is not weary. It's light and it's free. I got nothing but affection for all those who sail with me. Everybody moving, if they ain't already there. Everybody got to move somewhere. Stick with me, baby. Stick with me anyhow. Things should start to get interesting right about now. My clothes are wet, tied on my skin. Not as tight as the corner that I painted myself in. Is waiting to be kind. So give me your hand and say you'll be fine. Now the emptiness is endless, cold as the clay. You can always come back, but you can't come back on the way. Only one thing I did wrong.
Only one thing that I did wrong, stayed in Mississippi a day too long. It's Bob Dylan. This is Bob Dylan month here in the United States. The Martin Scorsese film No Direction Home will be broadcast on PBS on September 26th and 27th, and I believe on the BBC over in the UK those same 2 days. I guess it started with Marty doing an interview with Bob for Arena a year ago. Well, it didn't start there, but it certainly developed from there. This is the Impressionistic News Hour for the 15th of September. And one of the things that happened to me when I was on my trip last month was that as I listened to some of my MP3s of the news shows, I found that I wasn't enjoying them as much as I was my music show. So I'm going to concentrate on the music show for a while. But things, you know, change. Things go in and out. One of the things I liked to play on the news hour last winter and spring, was a program from Radio Moscow, Idaho, called What They Don't Tell You with Jody Paulson. I guess you can hear my voice is kind of shot. Anyway, Jody in March did a last broadcast and said she didn't even know where she was going to be sleeping in a week. And the good news is that she's back. So here is a very recent What They Don't Tell You from Jody Paulson. So thanks to Radio for All, here's What They Don't Tell You.
Hi, I'm Jody Paulson with What They Don't Tell You. Imagine you're at an outdoor concert. It's nighttime, the music's jamming, you're trying out some new moves, lost in the pulsating beat, when the roar of a helicopter invades your consciousness. Suddenly, you're aware that you've been caught in their bright search beams like an exposed deer. Camouflaged men with assault rifles swarm into the area. The music stops and general pandemonium ensues. The kid you met in the parking lot just got hit with a rifle butt. Stormtroopers are shouting orders. A girl's on the ground getting kicked in the gut. Sounds like a science fiction dystopia movie, doesn't it? But it's real. This actually happened about an hour from Salt Lake City, Utah, at a well-promoted rave party that had every permit the city told them they needed. Thousands of young people were in attendance, as well as several licensed security guards. The pretext for this outrage was that it was a drug bust. Those in attendance say it was a totally uncalled-for display of random excessive force. I wasn't there, but I've seen the video footage of the event that was released over the internet. I can't imagine what could have prompted a response that resembled a foreign invasion. What's more, the day before, new father Stacy Clay Driver walked out of a Walmart into the mid-90-degree weather of Atascocita, Texas. Walmart loss prevention workers tackled the bare-chested driver onto the scorching blacktop and held him there for over 20 minutes in front of several witnesses, ignoring his pleas for an ambulance. As a result, Driver's two-month-old baby will grow up without a father. Driver died of cardiac arrest. He was suspected of shoplifting diapers, a charge that Driver's family and lawyers deny. I am sickened and outraged by these recent surges into fascism, but I can't say that I'm particularly surprised. These events merely show the logical progression of what I've spoke about a few months ago. An American tortured in Saudi Arabia for suspected crimes in Virginia. An attorney general who thinks the Geneva Conventions are quaint. The uninvestigated shooting death of a 20-year-old Arab-American in California. There's a limit to how much Americans can be pushed, however. Those limits have been demonstrated by recent storm victims on the Mississippi Delta. Fascism is a losing proposition in this country. It's time to show it the door. I'm Jody Paulson, and I just thought you should know.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I ain't saying he's a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But he ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Kill me, mom.
I ain't saying he a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But he ain't messing with no broke niggas.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people.
Yeah.
George Bush don't like black people.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people. Hurricane came through, fucked us up round here. Government acting like it's bad luck down here. All I know is that you better bring some trucks round here. Wonder why I got my middle finger up round here. People lives on the line, you declining to help. Since you taking so much time, we surviving ourselves. Just me and my pets and my kids and my spouse. Trapped in my own house looking for a way out. 5 days in this motherfucking attic. Can't use the cell phone, I keep getting static. Dying cause they lying instead of telling us the truth. Other day the helicopters got my neighbors off the roof. It's cool cause they said they coming back for us too. That was 3 days ago, I don't see no rescue. See a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Since God made the path and I'm trying to walk through. What? Swam to the store trying to look for food. Corner store's kinda flooded so I broke my way through. I got what I could but before I got through, the news said police shot a black man trying to leave. Don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like
kill me, mom.
I ain't saying he a gold digger.
I'm in need.
He ain't looking for no broke niggas.
Kill me, mom.
I ain't saying he a gold digger.
I'm in need.
He ain't checking for no broke niggas.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people. five damn days, five long days, and at the end of the fifth, he walking in like, hey, chilling on his vacation, sitting patiently. Them black folks gotta hope, gotta wait and see if FEMA really comes through in an emergency. But nobody seems to have a sense of urgency. Now the mayor's been reduced to crying, and guess what said niggas been used to dying. He said, I know it looks bad, just have to wait. Forgetting folks were too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I bet he had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the fact remains that George Bush ain't a gold digger. But he ain't fucking with no broke niggas. George Bush ain't a gold digger. But he ain't fucking with no broke niggas. Come down, Bush, come on, come down. 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 George Bush ain't a gold digger. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down. Come down, George, come on, come down.
News updates here on Kill Radio. Basking in their victory over filibuster threats, the Bush administration won swift appointment of three controversial judicial nominees. Did you even hear about this? Priscilla Owen, an anti-abortion extremist, was appointed. Janice Rogers Brown, a culture war radical who believes that secular humanists are ruining the country. Where are those secular humanists when you need them? And William Pryor, who, as Alabama Attorney General, defended Judge Roy Moore's courtroom Ten Commandments, and he questioned whether the 14th Amendment applies to the states. Now, that's an interesting question. The 14th Amendment is that all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Section 2 has to do with representatives being apportioned among the states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. So it's about who does this or that. In the government, Section 3 was that no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress who, having previously taken an oath, has ever engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the state or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may remove such disability. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment is the validity of public debt of the United States and authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. But neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States. So I guess if you get hurt while you're fighting against the government, they won't give you hospitalization. Section 5, the Congress shall have. Congress is the one that has the power of the provisions of this article. Now, so if this new judge doesn't think that the 14th Amendment applies to the states, what does he think it applies to? Now then again, continuing with the news here, ruling in Cutter versus Wilkinson, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act in a case involving an Ohio prison inmates, some of whom had sought privileges for pagan worship. Though some church-state observers welcomed the ruling, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act poses problems. The danger is that the government will treat religiously motivated persons more favorably than other persons. Meanwhile, in Estes Park, Colorado, residents voted against a trustee who refused to recite the Pledge of Allegiance because it included the phrase, "under God." And a three-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a Virginia County's Board of Supervisors' rejection of a Wiccan priestess's request to open a meeting with a prayer. Again, alternative religions don't count in this country. Something's changed. However, good news, an Idaho atheist group reserved the front steps of the state capitol for a Day of Equality rally last spring. And they got there before the prayer people did. So the front steps were taken up by the atheists and the prayer people, including the governor of the state, made do on a side stairway. Good news. However, James Towney, director of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, urged men at a Catholic conference to reject the militant secularism of a culture that is hostile to the themes of God. Where is it? I'd love to go to a culture that is hostile to God. I'd love to go there. In Oregon, one of the two mayors at the annual privately sponsored Eugene Springfield Mayor's Prayer Breakfast bowed out. "I just don't want my office to be used in support of one religious perspective," said the mayor of Eugene, Kitty Piercy. Springfield Mayor Sid Lycan said he'd still come, prompting one email critic to denounce him as a Christian supremacist. Maybe that culture's in Oregon, don't you know? Meanwhile, Kofi Annan, the United Nations Secretary General, has launched an ambitious program to reform the unwieldy organization. His principal objectives are to abolish the discredited Human Rights Commission, enlarge the Security Council from 15 to 24 seats, create a new body devoted to rebuilding the peace in shattered societies, overhaul the UN's contracts and sanctions procedures, and set new guidelines for UN military intervention. The review of the contract's procedures comes in the wake of Annan being cleared on wrongdoing in the oil for food scandal mentioned. Hopefully he'll be successful doing this, but of course, in this country, everybody hates the UN. What do we do about this Pope thing? You know, it's a good thing that the Pope, John Paul II, is dead. He was perhaps a little more liberal in some directions than others, but let's face it, by forbidding the use of condoms, even in AIDS-ravaged countries, he condemned millions of people to unnecessary death and millions more to an uncertain future. He contributed to the botched and dishonest response to the sexual abuse scandals that have hit so many countries. By refusing to countenance an end to clerical celibacy, he perpetuated the climate that such abuse thrives on. And by stifling internal dissent, he contributed to a climate of fear and repression within his church. Now, we, of course, can't expect the new pope, who's even more conservative, to change any of that. Now, of course, it would be a mistake to regard John Paul II as a total conservative. I mean, he made it clear that religion without science is blind. And he also admitted that there's strong evidence for the theory of evolution, which is better than most of the idiots in the fundamentalist churches in this country can even begin to comprehend. So there were good things about him, and I'm not sure that this new Pope Bennett's going to do much better. But at least his name is Bennett. One other thing, let's see here. Ralph Reed's lobbying career is taking a hit, which is a nice thing to know. Texas State Representative Robert Talton has been working for 2 years to ban gays from becoming foster parents. So since that's not been working, he's now called in God to help him. When another legislator criticized his legislation, which would require the Texas Department of Child Protective Services to add a question to its forms for prospective foster parents on their sexual orientation, he stated in a letter that he was sent by God to put through this change. Robert Talton, Representative Republican from Pasadena, Texas. God sent him. He had a religious mission to hold conservatives accountable and cited several Bible passages to back his view. It is our responsibility to make sure that we protect our most vulnerable children, and I don't think we're going to do that if we allow a foster parent that is homosexual or bisexual. Oh, well. The pastor who told his parish that they should repent or resign if they voted for John Kerry last year, he has stepped down from the pulpit. His name is Chan Chandler of the East Waynesville, North Carolina Baptist Church. 9 members of his church were voted out because of this fallout based on him doing that. His duty, according to the church, was that he should preach God's word and let the people sort out what they want to do. So that's good news. Some religious news here, because more and more, that's the real battleground. We're stuck with a bunch of idiots who believe in fairy tales as reality. And they're not interested in facts or details, because that's a bias against them, since they can't support anything that they say. So let's pay attention to this, okay? This is your Kill Radio News. And this is Bennett. My throat's a little further gone here. Here's John Hirschfield. John is going to be stepping in next week, and I'm going to try to pick up the news from Bennett here.
How's it going?
Yeah. So, John, you've not done news before, but you said you've written columns?
Yeah, I used to write an op-ed piece, not in any sort of routine way, but seemed like every couple of weeks I had enough to bitch about to take up a page and a half, 2 pages.
Ranting and bitching.
Yes, a lot of ranting. It was on a site, well, they're still there, at democracymeansyou.com. And if you go to that site, and you go to columns and click on Jonathan Hirschfield. Jonathan is my writer name. John is my actor DJ name. And I wrote about the build up to the war, gay marriage, things like that.
You know, John, you and I seem to have a similar path, because I was a theater director in New York.
Oh, that's
for many years. I had my own theater company there. And so I had New York years. You've had New York years.
Yep.
He's flying back to New York this weekend, folks.
Yeah, I haven't been there since 2003. I miss it. But the problem with New York is when you live there, you feel like you're part of the city. Any part of the city, you could be way out in Queens, and you still feel like you're part of New York. But
right.
If you move away and you go back for any short period of time, you're a tourist. It doesn't matter if you live there or not. Like, you're not a part of the concrete anymore. It's a sad thing.
Well,
conversely, you can live in L.A. your whole life and never really feel like you're part of L.A.
And I don't. I've never felt that. I mean, Kerouac said that this was the loneliest city in the world and that he would never live here. And he never did. And I kind of agree. Even if you have thousands of friends,
yeah,
you'd still trip alone when you're in Los Angeles.
It's funny. I just read Dharma Bums recently. And I have a friend who lives in Berkeley. And I was reading the book, and Kerouac's talking about how he went to go hang out at his friend's place on Hillegas.
Uh-huh.
And that's like literally where my friend lives, on Hillegas. I was like, wow, it's just funny when you read a book and it, like,
and
it's fiction, but it's real.
What? A couple weeks ago, I was in Lawrence, Kansas, which is where Bill Burroughs went to retire and die there. And I turned on a TV show last night, and it begins in Lawrence, Kansas. It's everywhere around us. I started doing the news because well, actually, a DJ who moved over to another radio station, a so-called legit radio station in town. She left here, or Kill Radio, and they needed somebody to fill in on a Friday. So I just went in and started playing radio-free something or other, and didn't really think much of it. I'd just go there and play something and sit and read while it was on. But after a while, that got boring, and so I started writing pieces for it. And then September 11th happened. And that changed it, and it started to seem kind of important to be a news commentator.
Yeah, at the time September 11th happened, that was probably right around the time that I started feeling very political. Like, just before that occurred, it was almost like it was something building up inside me, and then 9/11 happened. I started with reading Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States.
Sure.
And then from there, I was just insatiable. I had to go after, like, as much information as I could, as many books as I could. And then 9/11 happened, and it's like, wow, this fits in perfectly with what I'm starting to realize about the world. And I'm talking about reading a lot of Chomsky and Greg Palast's book about the 2000 election.
You
bet. And things like that. And it's like, wow, this is really happening. It's not a lot of talk.
Well, I think we were all, in 2001, we were already on alert well before September 11th because of Bush's stealing of the White House.
Yeah.
That was obvious. And so we were paying attention all along. Our backs were up. But like I say, I was still thinking that just playing music is political.
True.
Just being musical is political in an environment where most of the music is crud and it falls apart. And September 11th happened, and suddenly it became a necessary thing to be part of this.
Yeah.
Well, all these years later, I'm really burnt out. I'm sick of Bush. I'm sick of the Bush administration. I'm sick of ranting and getting heart-hardened.
I'll tell you, last year I really had... There was no part of my mind that really thought he could not win again. You know, they really thought that he would still be the president after such a flagrant display of irresponsibility. And, you know, the war notwithstanding, I mean, I know people don't like to vote against the president during a war, but how come people didn't stop to notice he also caused it? You know, he also created this.
I don't know. We're running into a solid wall there. There's this wall of people who support the president no matter what. And yet I still ask of them, name something that he's done that was good for the country.
It just seems so unpatriotic.
Yeah. It seems like he's a traitor, and it seems like supporting him is the only way you can support him is to be a traitor, because you don't really believe in the system that we live in. You don't really believe in what the United States stands for.
Yeah, and I've gone beyond, you know, Democrat good, because that's bullshit.
I hate
Republicans
Democrats.
Bad, because that's also bullshit.
I mean,
it's not about the political parties. But when you reach a point where you see particularly the Republican Party defending him blindly. They're just defending him. They're not defending his platform. They're not defending conservatism. There's nothing conservative about him. He's a radical. He wants to make radical changes to the way this country works that are bad for us. That's not doesn't sound conservative to me.
Not at all. Nope.
And they're just defending him because he's Bush, not because he's a good Republican.
You know, one of the things that I find the craziest is that I now really admire Patrick Buchanan. I mean, I used to think he was an absolute nutcase, but he is so much more reserved than George W. Bush that he makes sense as opposed to the insanity of the neocon agenda.
Well, you know, Buchanan stands for something.
Yeah.
I don't agree with 99% of what
Neither
he stands
do
for.
I
mean, I think if he was president of Mars, he'd build a fence around it to keep the Mexicans from going there. But still, you know what he is, you know, and I would go as far as to suggest that he might not even be a liar. He may actually be telling what he believes to be the truth, whereas I really don't believe that Bush and Cheney and these guys at the head of the neocons, I think they know they're lying.
Well, I think they picked up from Reagan the trick of you just say what people want to hear and do whatever you want to do, and all the people will hear is what you say. They won't pay any attention to what you do, and if you show pictures of George Bush around black people and down around the hurricane, and your voiceover describes all the stupid things he did and the cronyism and the diversion of funds that caused the ruin, when it's over with, the people who watch it are going to think, what a nice guy George Bush is. Look, he's with all those black people.
Well, you and I were discussing this issue before about the taking of responsibility for the horrible way that this disaster has been handled. And he says the words taking responsibility, and the media jumps on it and says, oh, great, he finally said something that sounds remotely humble. Let's change its meaning to be that he's taking blame, so it makes him look like he's a real man.
Well, and now if you say, well, so what, he said that, why don't we analyze what he did that caused him to take responsibility? Well, the right-wingers will say, oh, get over it. He already said it was his responsibility. Forget anything else. The details don't matter. Facts are biased.
Sure.
So don't even talk about it. It's
facts
done.
Facts are biased. I mean, that's really funny when you think about it. By definition, facts aren't biased.
I know.
That's what makes them facts.
But that's the way the agenda works. And I know I'm not going to change it, and I know Kill Radio isn't going to change it. And all I need is to kind of get my head out of it for a while and sort of refresh myself, and maybe I will come back to doing this because I miss this. Look, here's one of my truths. As much as I love my music shows, they only get like a tenth of the audience that the news does. Mm-hmm. Now, right this second, there's only a handful of listeners. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Dave. Good old
it's
Dave.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning where he is. It's almost 3.
He's amazing. He listens to my music show on Thursday mornings, 10 to 12, every time.
And yet, you know, when I post my shows, the news shows are the ones that people go back to and listen to over and over and over again and download and keep them and hold on to them. The music shows, you know, I get 20 listeners. A news show, I get 180 listeners, you know.
Well, I think with something like the news, the kind of, you know, we're spreading information, we're spreading sentiment, and it's being received by people who are hearing it. And it sticks with you in a way that music doesn't. You go, oh, that was a good song. Maybe I'll hear it again sometime. And it doesn't necessarily stick with you the way a new thought does. I mean, some of these articles that I wrote, where it was really just me complaining. I had no solutions or, you know, it was pure armchair liberal activism, you know. Some of these articles were picked up by other sites without my knowledge. You know, I'd go and do the little ego hunt on Google to see where my name has traveled, and I'd find my article on other websites or excerpts from my article because it meant something to someone so much that they had to show someone else. You know?
See, isn't that terrific?
That's what's special about the news.
And I will miss that for my listeners out there. I'll miss the little bit of repartee that I get from some people who write in. Some people get angry with things that I say. I like that. That's
special. I'm curious. Tell me something.
Well, mostly, to be honest, it mostly had to do with the Revolutionary Communist Party because for a while there, I had the spokesman for them on, and I played some of Bob Avakian stuff, and I basically criticized it. I basically think it's an elitist position that doesn't really work. I can't help but agree with the charismatic leader, but I don't believe in charismatic leaders, you know. And so I got some protests for that. But I didn't mind. For one thing, they weren't death threats
right, or
anything else. And for another thing, it meant that ideas were being thought about.
Sure.
And believe me, you do this for a while, you'll find that you work really hard on something and you hear nothing.
Yeah.
You know? You just have to do it because it needs to be done. That's it, you know. But you're going to have to figure out what you want to do. I mean, I can, if you want, you can have the theme music and stuff that I
use.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm here today just to watch you because I know you've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I've always sort of thought about doing a new show, and I love doing my music show, but this is ultimately, this is still Kill Radio, anti-corporate radio, and it is about more than music. I mean, yes, music is intrinsically political, but I mean, what I do on my music show is just about, you know, spreading good art, and I do want to have a venue. Also, I feel bad. I had, when I stopped writing these articles, pretty much for the same reason you're leaving the news, which was the war actually happened, and I was out of breath, and I couldn't write anymore. You know, people would send emails to the site. We want to know what Hirschfeld has to
What's
say.
What's going
to
come up next?
So I feel kind of guilty about leaving those people in the dust because I do have a lot to say. I have more to say these days.
Well, now you know where to send your links.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I'm going to play another piece of music here, if you want to, one second. This is the Just Measurers, Thank you, David. And this is called Be Good to Your Leaders. I gave up on Orthodox religious belief a long time ago. But I've, especially since I discovered William Blake, I've come to believe that what we call God is really the human imagination, because the imagination really, literally, is the infinite part of all of us. And if the concept of God is anything, it's infinite. So that which touches that part of us, that's holy. The human imagination. I believe in human potential. However, my faith in human ability to make things right is just continually being shaken. It's sort of burning me out of doing the news. I want to take some time off from it because everything is so negative when one examines what's happening on a social scene. The dominant movement of this country and this civilization that we're living in is like a juggernaut, and it's moving in ways that are constricting and destroying the things that I find valuable in my life, the beauties of art and the beauties of that kind of social interaction. What do I ascribe this to? Well, let's put it in the social condition. Let's call it capitalism. Because I believe that what we're seeing with the Bush administration and the response in this hurricane is exactly the end result of a capitalist movement which puts money and profit above anything else. You know? And it's just going on. It destroys all levels of society. It destroys any kind of creative response to it, because its power is involved with things that are not real values to you or me. Profit, you know. I mean, you know, you probably hear it all the time, and especially if you're young, you've grown up with these value systems that more or less came on full-fledged in the 80s, as with Reagan in office, and have just run worse and worse and worse since then. Does this mean it's going to be the end of the world? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that it's getting harder and harder to respond to it because it's so potent. It sweeps everything in its path. And the physical destruction of New Orleans is a great example of this. And Mississippi, I mean, they've already found 200 dead in Mississippi, so it's not a, there were 9 in Florida or something. But the planet is being devastated by a process that, I don't know,
the heads of corporations, the executives, the businessmen, the factory owners, the people who hold and manipulate power because they hold and manipulate wealth, effectively control everything that we hear and see. And they care nothing for the future of life. They care nothing for the planet that they live on, even though it's the future of their own children and grandchildren, so long as they can continue to amass capital during their own lifetimes. Right-wing politicians, lacking all true moral sense under cover of a repressive and discredited traditional morality, fulfill the function of sustaining and fostering the perpetuation and growth of the government by the rich and for the rich, which they hypocritically call democracy. The collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, initially hailed as a positive thing, has brought in its wake a spiritually devastating consequence. Look what's happened over there. The much vaunted victory of capitalism, as Gorbachev called it, socialism with a human face, he actually said, it's become obvious that capitalism itself is unreformable. We can't change it. Despite all the dismay and the warnings, the rich just continue to get richer, the poor poorer, the environment more polluted, the ozone layer more depleted. Things that cause this. Look directly into look directly into what happened here. If I can compare things, I was part of the 1994 Northridge earthquake, which was a disaster, not anywhere near as heavy as the one that's happening in the Gulf, but nonetheless, it was a disaster. And because Bill Clinton's FEMA was there, they were running things smoothly within hours of the disaster. Now, it's obvious that if we had another earthquake right now, today, in Los Angeles, that killed thousands of people and destroyed a lot of property, nothing would be set up, because the ineptitude of the federal government is now plainly visible. Their priorities are screwed up. They're off fighting invisible terrorists who were no threat to us whatsoever. So they create an environment that's causing terrorism to thrive and grow. So that their priorities were so wrong that they screw that up, and then they don't protect us here. But of course, that's because people in the federal government, the Bush administration's main people, don't think that the federal government should have any job protecting the average citizen. That's not what the feds are here for. It's not to educate. It's not for Social Security. It's not to, you know, give money to people. It's not what it's there for. It's there to control, to be in the center, and to help the states. And the states do everything else. And they probably don't even believe in the states controlling, helping people and education and all that. Rush Limbaugh was, I heard him yesterday going on about how the welfare state creates poor people, and that New Orleans was a terrible place because it was a welfare state. There's no compassion. There's no understanding. There's only stupidity. I don't know how to address it otherwise. We cannot have false hope. We have to resist the lure of you know, falsely believing that something good will come out of things. That's one of the reasons why I can't support Christianity, because that's false. There's no real hope there. Certainly, people working together can help things, but it doesn't change the overall path. Christianity has changed nothing of the horrors of what capitalism has ended up with for us. So the thing is, do we just give up? There is always, as a last refuge, one's own self-respect. And to give up fighting back is to lose your own self-respect. The dominant movement may appear overwhelming, but struggle still exists. In some ways, it's stronger than ever, though it doesn't seem to be affecting the media, because that's already controlled.
But we need to get people to be better informed, and maybe we can do something about it. I don't know. There are daily reports of the growth of revolt and protest in the world, from all corners of the world. Maybe. Maybe we can get through it. But there, briefly, is sort of a take, and also sort of gives why I'm sort of burning out on this. I feel indifferent to a lot of this suffering because, well, we knew it was coming. Well, so this has been an experiment in terror from Henry Mancini for 4 years here on the Kill Radio News. And I'll be back. This isn't the end of me doing the news, but it is time for me to take a break. So thanks for listening out there. And I'm running long. We're way past the hour now. And I'm going to end with a song, because it always comes down to music. So this has been the Kill Radio Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for September 15th, 2005. And the impressions aren't going to go away. Don't forget to listen to my music show every Saturday night here on Kill Radio, midnight to 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The Chill Room is in its eighth year, longer than Kill Radio has been around. And it's the best. It's the best radio show on Kill Radio. Nothing even comes close to it. But Kill Radio is the best radio station, except for WFMU, in the universe. Thanks for listening to Kill Radio. And don't forget to kill your friends.
Blue-eyed son, where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad fathers. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? And what did you see, my darling young one? I saw a newborn baby with wild wolves all around it. I saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers bleeding. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard race I'm gonna fall. And what did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear, my darling young one? I heard the sound of a thunder that roared out a warning. I heard the roar of a wave that could drown the whole world. I heard 100 drummers whose hands were blazing. I heard 10,000 whispering and nobody listening. I heard one person starve, I heard many people laughing. I heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. I heard the sounds of a clown who cried in the alley. I heard the sound of one person who cried he was human. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain we're gonna fall. And who did you meet, my blue-eyed son? Yes, and who did you meet, my darling young one? Child beside a dead pony. I met a white man who walked a black dog. I met one woman whose body was burning. I met another girl, she gave me a rainbow. I met one man who was wounded in love. I met another man who was wounded in hatred. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard rain we're gonna fall. Oh, what'll you do now, my blue-eyed son? And what'll you do now, my darling young one? I'm a-going back out for the rain starts a-falling. I'll walk to the depths of the deepest dark forest, where the people are many and their hands all empty. Where the pellets of poison are flooding their waters. Where the home in the valley meets the damp, dirty prison. And the executioner's face is always well hidden. Where the hunger is ugly, where souls are forgotten. Where black is the color and none is the number. And I tell it and show it and think it and breathe it. And reflect from the mountain so all souls can see it. And I stand on the ocean until I start sinking. But I'll know my song well before I start singing. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard.
Bob Dylan at the Gaslight Cafe in Greenwich Village, New York in 1962. This has been the Thursday News. Stay tuned.